Hello everyone, my name is Sergi and I'll be presenting some work that I've done together with my supervisor and engineer Aaron Zimmerman on extracting the redshift factor from numerical relativity simulations and then analyzing the small mass ratio limit and comparing it to gravitational self-force predictions of this same quantity. So we should really situate our work in the context of comparing between different approximation methods that tackle the two-body problem in general relativity. There's been a lot of work already in comparing the redshift factor between post-Newtonian perturbation method and self-force perturbation theory, and this has helped in the past check the different calculations and inform one another. Today in particular, I'll be focusing on a comparison between numerical relativity and self-force perturbation theory. So on one hand, we'll be able to, by doing that test, whether we are really extracting a good invariant redshift factor from numerical relativity. And once we are confident that we are, then the ultimate goal, of course, is to try to push, to try to assess how good self-force theory performs for equal mass or more moderate mass ratios that that we model through numerical relativity. So let me very quickly go over how the redshift is defined in gravitational self-force perturbation theory. This is in this perturbation theory, one expands around the geodesic limit. The expansion parameter corresponds to this epsilon, it's the mass ratio between the black holes. And then the gauge invariant quantity, the redshift, it's defined as the inverse of the time component of the four velocity. However, it's a little bit tricky. This four velocity, it's not the four velocity that you see in this trajectory equation, but it is a four velocity that is defined from the four velocity of geodesic motion in this sort of effective metric that can be computed from a certain regular piece of the metric perturbation. And then the redshift is just like directly related to that regular piece of the metric conservation. And we're also focusing only on the perturbation that gives the conservative dynamics of the system, where this quantity it's invariant due to the presence of an exact helical Kelvin vector field. So how do we get this same quantity from numerical relativity? Since we don't have no explicit word line like they have in perturbation theory, we rely on a different interpretation of the redshift factor, which you can see here. It's an expression that relates the redshift to the ratio between these two surface gravities. The one on the top is the surface gravity that would be calculated by observers, inertial observers, asymptotically far from the binary. And the surface gravity, sort of like an effective surface gravity at the bottom, would be the surface gravity calculated by observers on some sort of like buffer region, in the so-called buffer region, which is asymptotically far from the small black hole, where the diverging piece of the metric perturbation goes to zero, and then one can show that to first order, this definition matches the definition from gravitational self-force perturbation theory. This has been done by Adam Pound in the context of asymptotic matching. So again, I emphasize that all of this relies on the existence of a helical Kelvin vector field that we know it's an approximate helical Kelvin vector field in the case of our evolving binary simulations. But nevertheless, this allows us to choose a normalization for our tangent to the horizon generators, and using that normalization, we can calculate the surface gravity, and from the surface gravity, we get the redshift. So we have analyzed 10 non-spinning quasi-circular simulations using the spec code. What we do is like we move into the frequency space, and this omega is going to corresponds to the dynamical orbital frequency that we calculate from the relative position between the two black holes in simulation coordinates. And one challenge that we had to overcome is that the data showed, as you can see on the top right plot, oscillations. Those oscillations are due to the fact that a lot of like big simulations have a center of mass motion that is going to affect the normalization of the helical Killing vector field. So you can see how it will introduce oscillations in the time component if it's boosted, right, with respect to the center of mass being at rest. And that those translate into oscillations into the redshift. So what we have done is we find the upper and the lower envelopes, and then we take as our numerical relativity data the midline. And so every time I refer to our numerical relativity data, it's already processed using this algorithm. Now we are interested in extracting the trend as we move to. In numerical relativity, I'm going to refer to high mass ratio, but it's really small epsilon. We're interested in extracting that trend. So we're going to be performing different fits to the series expansion in the mass ratio. So what I'm going to show you next is these are going to be fits at a fixed frequency, and I'm going to allow in this very first fit, two free parameters. I'm going to fit for the zeroth order and first order redshift using the numerical data. So as you can see here, it's increasing orbital frequency as we go down. It's increasing mass ratio as we go to the left, which means smaller epsilon. So with two parameters, we still get residuals with a lot of structure. But I'm going to show what will be our results for the two coefficients and compare them already to the gravitational cell force predictions. Okay, so the black dots are the gravitational first order cell force redshift. Mm-hmm. And then the dark, the black line is the zeroth order prediction. The blue and the red, the color ones, are the numerical relativity. What we get from numerical relativity fits. So you can see that we miss by a little the zeroth order first cell force, and we also miss by a little the first order. So what we can do, we have seen a lot of structure in those residuals, is we add a third parameter. So we can add a second order redshift parameter there and see if we improve. So we clearly improve the residuals, as you can see on the right-hand plot. And let's see what we get for those coefficients. So what we can see is that we have improved improved the match with the zeroth order cell force prediction. So you can see how the blue line, it's down on the right plot by an order of magnitude, right? The blue thicker line corresponds to the mismatch at zero order with the cell force prediction, and the red dots track the mismatch with the first order, right? The colored lines correspond to the residuals of the fit for each of the mass ratios. We can go ahead and add one a third order parameter to this fit. The residuals improve with respect to the previous ones that still show a little bit of structure. And this is what we get. So we improve even more the match with the test mass prediction, zeroth order cell force. And we also get closer to the first order Selfworth prediction, especially as we move towards the early in spiral. Okay, thank you. So what we can do next is we can fix the C dot order and we'll get like a better behaved fit here. And repeat the fit, fitting this, fixing the C dot order. So this is the final plot for the Q cell force. We can see how at first order, we get good agreement as we move towards the early insulin spiral, but then this, you know, all of the coefficients starts to take off at around 0.04. And what I'm also showing here, it's the PN prediction for the second order cell force, which are consistent with what we have extracted. And the yellow one would be like the third order cell force prediction from numerical relativity. I've also done it for the symmetric mass ratio. However, expected it to behave a little bit, to behave better. I still see, you know, the residuals show a little more structure than in the case of the Q mass ratio expansion. Not sure like what that might be saying, but anyway, we also get, you know, good agreement at first order as we move like towards the early in spiral. So in conclusion, a simple fit to numerical relativity data shows great agreement with the zero order cell force, improving as we add higher orders. And for the highest orders, we find relative differences of order 10 to the minus 4. Agreement with the first order gravitational cell force improve also as we add more orders. This agreement reduces towards the early in spiral as expected, because the orbit, you expect the orbit to be more circular there. At second order, numerical relativity results were consistent with the PN predicted results. And the symmetric mass ratio, although the residuals were small, they showed more structure than the Q cell force residual. So I think that's worth giving it a little bit more thought. Future directions, extend the redshift extraction to eccentric orbiting curve and compared to the cell force predictions that we already have. And possibly bringing numerical relativity and gravitational cell force to better agreement, incorporating transition terms. So that's all. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sergi. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have 2 minutes for questions from the audience. So please raise your hand if you have questions. Okay, let's see. Bernard raised hand, so let me unmute you. Okay, I can see that you are already unmuted, so I think you can ask questions.
Thank you. Yes. So when you're using the first order cell force, are you just calculating it from Newtonian, just post-Newtonian expansions, or are you using the higher order contributions that have been computed using a very high precision calculations that Abhay Shah did a few years ago?
So for the cell force redshift here, I'm using the dots corresponds to, I believe, those that you said.
To what? Then
I believe like those data points. So the cell force data, it's a mixture of like different sources.
Okay.
Yeah. So that we could like get a broad range of like frequencies, somewhat some cover like more like after the East Coast. And
is Abhay's paper, I think, down there, the PM data paper.
Yeah, and then the PN. I believe it's like to 21.5 PN order. That's from Barry's recent, I think it was the most recent result. And I got it from their mathematica notebook.
Okay, that's good. Thanks.